scripture reading is Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Now let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Holy Father, as we have now gathered here in obedience to your command for the Lord's Day, we now pray, Lord, that you may empower us by your Spirit to understand your gospel, and that through all of the means of grace which we partake here on this Lord's Day, that we may be strengthened and encouraged so that we may grow in the likeness of your Son and may reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so now we pray all of these things for the sake of your name, your great glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the second chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 13 to 15. We are reminded in last week's text that at salvation, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the ungodly, unrepentant, and unbelieving person we once were, stone-hearted towards the God of truth, died. Not only did that old self die, but we were raised a new person with radically, permanently changed hearts, open, responsive, and yielding towards God. And so we read in verse 11 to 12 of this chapter, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." In today's text, the reality of who we were before salvation and the transformation that takes place within us at salvation is reiterated. Verse 13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him." Who were we before salvation? Well, first of all, we read in verse 13 that we were dead in our trespasses. Sin leaves us guilty before God and culpable of his judgment. And that's terrible enough. But there's more. Not only does sin leave us guilty, but sin also corrupts. Sin corrupts our hearts. To what extent? Well, to the extent that it leaves our hearts hardened towards God, hostile and unresponsive towards him as he offers himself in Christ. Short of the work of the Spirit of God upon our hearts, we'll always consider the gospel to be folly, and we'll have no real desire for the God of truth. In other words, we were dead in our trespasses, spiritually dead. Well, we read on in verse 13 that we're also dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. What does that mean? Well, we learned in our previous message that the flesh, as it's used here in today's text, and also in verse 11 of this chapter from last week's text refers to life outside the work of the Holy Spirit. If you remember from last week, Romans 8:9 distinguishes between being in the flesh and in the Spirit. To be in the flesh is to be without the Holy Spirit. To be in the Spirit is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so at salvation, the body of the flesh, as we learned in our previous text from last week, is put off by the circumcision of Christ. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Our old self, devoid of the Spirit of God, our old self in the flesh was put off. So when we read here in verse 13 that we were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, this means that we were in the flesh, living apart from the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. And because we were without the Holy Spirit, we were spiritually dead. This is who we were before salvation. Dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. At salvation, we read on in verse 13 that God made us alive together with Christ. Our old self without the Spirit died, and we were raised up a new person with hearts radically and permanently transformed by the Spirit. Gone and buried is that old, spiritually dead person, never to return. In place of that old person is a new person whose heart is receptive towards God in Christ Jesus, whose heart desires to know him in true fellowship, to please him, and to become like him. Unlike before, this new person listens to the gospel, heeds its call, repents of his or her life in the flesh, and embraces Christ as Savior and Lord. In the moment our hearts are made new by the Spirit, and we respond to the gospel with faith in Christ Jesus, Christ's sacrificial death on our behalf is applied to us, and we are forgiven all our trespasses and reconciled to God. And so we read in our text, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." We read in verse 14 that God has forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. In speaking of our record of debt before God, we're reminded that it's not money owed that has brought us under God's judgment, but obedience owed that has brought us under his judgment. God keeps record of all the obedience we failed to render him as our Creator and Sovereign. This is our record of debt. People like to think of themselves as decent and good, but according to the gospel, the best we can accomplish apart from God's saving grace is the kind of life described in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. That's the best we can do, apart from the saving grace of God. Apart from the saving grace of God, even the most outstanding individual is like an iceberg floating in the ocean. What we can see of an iceberg is only the tip of a massive body of ice, most of which is below the waterline and out of sight. All we see of people's life is the visible tip. There is so much we do not see hidden beneath the surface. If we could see what people are practicing, committing, uttering, and thinking in the darkness, in the hidden recesses of their private lives, and in the hidden depths of their own minds and hearts, well, we'd have no doubt at all that Titus 3:3 is an exact description of all people, even the best of people, apart from God's saving grace. As we read in Ephesians 5:12 regarding the unbelieving, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So although all humanity is obligated to obey their Maker, they have rejected His authority and have broken all His laws, either in heart or in deed. And the time is coming when we must pay for our long record of disobedience, our record of debt. The time is coming when our account must be settled with God, and we must pay for our refusal and failure to obey Him. And that price to be paid is an eternity in hell. But if we have been granted new hearts by the Spirit of God and have turned to Christ Jesus in faith, we read that the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands has been canceled in full. And then we read on in verse 14, this He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Christ Jesus paid the price for our record of disobedience. He was nailed to the cross as payment for our trespasses, so that all who trust in Him may receive forgiveness on account of who He is and what He has done. Acts 10:43. To Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. And as a result of what His Son accomplished on the cross, we read on in our text, in verse 15, that God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. So who are these rulers and authorities? Well, Ephesians 6:12 tells us who these rulers and authorities are. That's what we read there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So these rulers and authorities are not flesh and blood. They are, as one commentator puts it, the infernal powers of darkness, Satan and his demonic minions. Through the work of his Son, God has disarmed the invisible powers of darkness. And Jesus tells us about this disarming of the devil in Luke 11, 21 to 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. When we were left in the guilt of our sins, we were under God's wrath and alienated from Him. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's our condition when we're left in the guilt of our sins. The wrath of God remains on us. And since we are separated from God and under His wrath, the gospel teaches that we are under the power of the devil. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So you see, the devil was the strong man, fully armed, and we were his goods, kept secure in his palace. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. We were the devil's goods. We were slaves and followers of the devil. We were powerless to free ourselves from his dominion. But there is one who is stronger than the strong man. There's one who is stronger than the strong man and has defeated him. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. That's referring to Christ Jesus. As J.C. Ryle writes, let us thank God that there is one who is stronger even than Satan, Jesus, the Son of God. Mighty as the devil is, he was overcome by Jesus on the cross when he triumphed over him openly. Strong as the devil is, Christ can pluck his captives out of his hands and break the chains which bind them. We never rest until we know that deliverance by experience and have been set free by the Son of God. At the cross, Jesus triumphed over the devil by paying the price for the sins of God's elect. So that at the point of time, when we turn to Christ in faith, we are immediately forgiven our trespasses, reconciled to God, delivered out of the devil's domain and into the kingdom of the Son, and brought under God's fatherly care and love forever. At the cross, the devil and his angels were defeated. The freedom of God's captive people secured. And the moment God converts us to faith in Christ, we are delivered out of the devil's power, never to fall back into his hands. As you read earlier in this series in chapter 1 of Colossians, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Can people be possessed by demonic spirits? Can the devil and his minions torment people and harm them mentally and even physically? Well, according to the gospel, yes, to both questions. And we can resort to all kinds of methods to try to ward off the powers of darkness. Religious symbols and paintings, special incantations and prayers, sacred charms, figurines, statues, holy water. But these cannot deliver us from the devil. Because the reason we are under his power is due to our guilt and sin. And until our guilt and sin is dealt with, we will always be under his power. The worst oppression of the devil, however, is not demonic possession and afflictions of the mind and body, as terrible as those things are. The worst oppression of the devil is that which is manifest in all unbelievers, and that is enthrallment to his example of unrepentance, ungodliness, and lawlessness. For as long as we are left in the guilt of our sin, as long as our record of debt hangs over our head, we are under God's wrath and without him in the world. And where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us under the power of the evil one. There's no middle ground. There's no gray zone. We are either in the kingdom of Christ or in the domain of darkness, one or the other. And there's only one way out of the devil's domain, and that is through the deliverance of the one stronger than the strong man fully armed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel calls us to repent and receive Christ the Lord. Then and only then will our guilt and sin be dealt with once and for all. Then and only then will God cancel the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands on account of what his Son has accomplished on the cross. Then and only then will we be freed from our captivity to the devil and kept safe in Christ's hand. We don't need holy symbols, trinkets, ornaments, or icons, all of which are useless to deliver us from Satan's power. What we need is the forgiveness of our trespasses secured for us by the cross of Jesus Christ, and receive through faith in him. That's all we need. So again, the call of the gospel. Repent of the devil's works and receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Believe the gospel that once we do, the devil will no longer have any claim over us. We will be transferred to the kingdom of Christ Jesus. We will be sealed by the Spirit of God. And we will be God's own, holy and beloved, safe in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be freed from the devil's dominion, power, to be henceforth led by the Spirit of Christ, who empowers us for the understanding of his word, for obedience to his will, for growth in his likeness, and for service to his people, all the while providing us assurance that we are now truly children of God. Have we been delivered from the rulers and the authorities, the infernal powers of darkness, from the strong man, the devil? There is only one way, and that is by turning to Christ Jesus in faith and receiving him for who he is, as he has been proclaimed in his word, because it is only then that the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands is canceled by God, and we are forgiven all our trespasses and reconciled to him and delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. And so now, Holy Father, we pray, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, that those who are yours would listen and be encouraged and strengthened. We know in Christ Jesus we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, from the devil's clutches. And so actually that means that we are delivered from the superstitions that entrap the world as they resort to all sorts of futile means to protect themselves from the evil one. None of those things suffice. None of those methods work, because there's really only one primary reason that we are under the power of the devil, and that's because we are in our guilt, in sin. And the only way to be delivered from the power of the devil is to have our guilt and sin forgiven through faith in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. And so we pray, Lord God, as your people, that that would always be the foundation and the security and the peace that we have against the domain of darkness, knowing that in him we are secure and safe in the hand of Christ. And we pray for those who are unbelieving, that though they may have heard the call of the gospel hundreds, if not thousands of times, that there, as for as long as they draw breath, there is still time to repent and receive Christ Jesus the Lord for the salvation of our eternal souls. But that time, we pray, Lord, they will be reminded, will not last forever. And there is a time where that opportunity comes to an end, and then the account must be settled before God, and we must pay the price for our disobedience according to the absolute and perfect justice of God. And so we pray, Lord God, that you may continue to sustain and give life and provide for the needs of all people, your children and even those who are not, so that even those who are not may continue to have opportunity to repent, but also knowing that that time will not last forever and may come to an end sooner than we think. So we pray these things now for the comfort of your people and for the continued sustenance of even those who are not your people, for the sake of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.